Go, behold, I send you forth as lambs into the midst of wolves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is both the feast of St. Luke and also Mission Sunday. And I'd like to talk a little bit about our great saint today, St. Luke. St. Luke is known for several things in his lifetime. He's known as a Gentile who was converted by St. Paul to the faith, and the one who, and kind of the model or the example that was set forth in that breaking with the old covenant that St. Paul so eagerly fought for, that they were not bound by the old covenant laws anymore, but only those of the new. He was also a physician. He was a medical doctor that took care of the sick. And he helped St. Paul in writing his epistles. He actually was, St. Paul oftentimes was dictating the words of his epistles, and at times St. Luke was the one that was actually taking the pen to the paper for that. And he himself also wrote, obviously we have the very gospel of St. Luke as him as an evangelist, and he worked by physically going out and spreading the gospel and eventually dying as a martyr for the very gospel of our Lord. But one important aspect of St. Luke's life that merits talking about today is oftentimes overlooked. It seems, in a way, sort of kind of almost like a side project of his, but in reality it has its own importance. St. Luke was an artist. He actually painted many pictures, and most of these pictures that he painted were of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's important. He did them in the style of icons, but because they were done by the hand of St. Luke, who knew Our Lady, we can see in those icons, even though that style is a little bit off from exact realism of a face, we can see in that the true features of Our Lady's face, because he was there with her. He was looking at her as he painted them. One picture in particular for us here that we should have great devotion to is Our Lady of Częstochowa. That picture, that image, was actually painted by the hand of St. Luke himself. And it has a truly glorious and long history behind it that merits all of our attention. St. Luke painted that image when he was visiting Our Lady. And he sat there and he needed something to paint it on. And so, as was the case in this situation, it not only became a picture, but a relic, because his canvas, if you will, was actually the table, a table which was in the home of Our Lady, and was built by the very hands of our Lord. Because remember, during his life, he worked as a carpenter, and he would build things like tables. And so the table that our Lord himself built, he painted the image of his mother. And while painting that very image of Częstochowa, he was listening to the words that she spoke. It was that very time she sat there and taught him about the things of our Lord's life that he would later write down in the Gospels. Because St. Luke, being a convert, didn't actually walk with our Lord. He didn't actually follow him around like the apostles did. He was a Gentile. And yet he heard from his own mother's mouth the things of our Lord's life while painting the very image of Częstochowa. At some point, this painting was hidden, and it was only discovered by St. Helena when she discovered the instruments of the Passion of our Lord. There, buried with the cross and the nails, was also several paintings, all of which were done by the hand of St. Luke, and all of which were protected by putting them in the ground along with these instruments of the Passion. And St. Helena, seeing the very beautiful picture that we now know as Our Lady of Częstochowa, she took that and gave it to her son, Constantine the Great, the emperor of the Roman Empire, the first Christian emperor. And he, loving that picture so much, on the very took it to Constantinople, his greatest city, and built a church to hang that picture in, to give it due honor. And so he built a church just purely for the picture. And there it stayed for a long time. At one point, the city of Constantinople was invaded by the Saracens. And these people, the people of Constantinople, seeing this great horde coming to raid the city, immediately turned to Our Lady. They all came to the church and grabbed the image and began a procession, putting their trust totally in her to protect them and protect that great city of Constantinople. And so they went out of the church, processing around, holding the picture high in the air. And at the sight of it, a great miracle happened. The entire army of the Saracens was turned away from Constantinople without a battle. They purely were frightened by the people and their honor to Our Lady, and turned away, thus saving the city. After staying in Constantinople for several hundred more years, the sacred image eventually moved, several times actually. Wealthy people had some great influence in that time, and eventually that image, which had a church for itself, found its way to become a dowry for people who are for marriage, and it got passed from one family to another as generations went on, and it made its way up through Russia, eventually finding its way into Poland. The Polish prince Saint Ladislaus put it in his castle. When he had found this image, he thought it needed a true place of honor. And so he placed it in his own castle and allowed people to come and visit and honor the image. This was in the 15th century. And while Ladislaus was king, the Tartars invaded Poland. And again, they came to try to destroy the image of Our Lady. And one of the soldiers in that battle shot an arrow that pierced the throat of Our Lady in that image. But St. Ladislaus protected the image, and he took it, and he left the city that it was in to return it to a safe place, which was his birthplace, the city of Opala. And on his journey towards his home city, it came nighttime at one point, and he had to rest for the night to continue on the next day. And he stopped in the small little town of Częstochowa. And when he woke in the morning, he decided time to continue on. He loaded up his caravan, including the image, and put it in the carriage. Yet when he wanted to leave, no matter how much bidding he did, the horses refused to move. They stayed put right there on that ground, and he, being obviously, we know him to be a saint, being a very truly pious and holy man, he took that as a sign from heaven. And so he took the image, brought it up to the small wooden church of the Assumption there in Częstochowa, and installed it there. And it wasn't good enough just to leave it in the city, but he truly treasured it because of the great relic that it was, and he needed to set up guards to protect it, most especially spiritually protected. And so he found the most pious order that he could in the area, the Pauline fathers, and commissioned them to set up a monastery there and pray in front of the image every day and to stand guard over that great sacred image. As the Pauline fathers guarded that, it wasn't long afterwards, though, that once again it fell under attack. There were a group of heretics called the Hussites. They came to Częstochowa, and they wanted to seize and take over all of the church properties. And when they came to the church of the Assumption, they were victorious in taking control of the church, and they seized the image of Our Lady. But when they took it down to move on to the next place of pillaging, they too found their horses refusing to move. But it was only several years before that St. Ladislaus had that very same thing happen, and they knew about it. And so they realized the horses did not move because of the image of Our Lady. But being these terrible heretical people, they had, instead of St. Ladislaus having that respect for the image, they had a hatred towards it. And they took it from the wagon and they threw it upon the ground, breaking it actually into three pieces. And then one of the heretics took out his sword and slashed the image twice in the face with his sword. And the third time he tried to go at the image, as he swung his sword downward, he was immediately seized by a great agony and fell to the ground and began writhing on the ground until he finally died a miserable death right there before all of the other soldiers. And with that, the Hussites were afraid at that very example, and they returned the image, or left the image there at the church, which was repaired and restored to its proper place. But in that repair, they tried to repair the damage done to the actual image itself by the sword and the arrow that were the marks that were there. And no matter what they did between paint and wax to fill in the marks, every time they did so, when they returned afterwards, they saw those wounds remaining there despite all their best efforts to cover it up. So that is how we see it today. Those wound marks in the image still remain. The picture of Our Lady of Częstochowa stayed in the church, you know, fairly peacefully for a couple of hundred years until 1655. In that year, there was a Swedish horde, once again, hateful of Catholics, coming down and raiding Poland. And they came to Częstochowa, and there, the band of army of the Swedes, 12,000 in number, tried to invade and steal the image of Our Lady again. They came to the church, and the people of Częstochowa were only able to round up 300 men to defend the image. 300 to 12,000. Think about that. That's 40 to 1 in hand-to-hand combat. And yet, because of the trust they had in Our Lady, they routed, destroyed the entire Swedish army there of 12,000, and successfully defended Our Lady's image in the church. After that battle, seeing that great miracle worked, Our Lady was named as Queen of Poland. In fact, to this day, in Poland, when they do the Litany of Loreto, they're allowed to insert Queen of Poland as an added invocation to Our Lady. On September 14th, 1920, the Communist Russians prepared to invade Poland themselves. And seeing this great evil, the people of Poland, of Częstochowa, prayed to Our Lady. When the army was coming in, the soldiers of the Red Army saw in the sky, in the clouds, the very image of Częstochowa appear in the clouds before them all. And even though that they were these atheistic communist fighters, they were terrified, and the whole army fled and left Poland in peace. In World War II, Hitler forbade, under punishment of death, all religious pilgrimages. Oftentimes we so hear of the Nazi regime in history, and all that it focuses on is his hatred towards the Jews. But he also, and almost equally so, hated all of Christianity. And so he wanted to wipe that out completely from the land of Europe and as a whole, but especially of Poland, where there are so many faithful and who are so devout. And so he punished them by death, anybody who was making pilgrimage. Yet the faithful of Poland refused to bow down to any man. And in response to that order, 500,000 Poles came to Częstochowa in pilgrimage, leaving the Nazis helpless to fight against that. They could not do anything to stop the faithful from turning to Our Lady, praying to her to deliver the country. And deliver the country she did. A few years later, Poland was liberated, and 1.5 million came in thanksgiving to her image. Once again, Poland was under siege after World War II, now again by the communists. And that same order came from the communists. These atheists ordered that nobody could go and have public veneration of any kind of pilgrimage. And it was punishable, once again, by death. But hearing that edict fall again, 800,000 Poles came to Poland, came to Częstochowa and honored Our Lady's image, walking by guards that were set up in front of the church to stop them from doing that very thing. But upon seeing that great of a crowd, all they could do was marvel and stand aside. And through Our Lady's intercession, over time, eventually Poland was liberated again from this final purge against Our Lady's land. So many times throughout the image's history, we see Our Lady of Częstochowa saving and protecting the people that had care and devotion to her. And those people were not just attacking a picture. They were not just trying to conquer a people, but they were coming because they were attacking the very faith that they held so dear, the very reason why they stood up and protected the image of Our Lady, because they held the Catholic faith higher than anything else. It was the most important thing in their lives. And when they saw these insurmountable odds time and time again, they continually turned towards heaven for their protection. And Our Lady never failed them, not once. And we now are faced with the same type of trouble. We see our faith attacked around us all the time. And it is we that have to do the fighting against those who are attacking the faith. And yet, we feel almost helpless in the face of these odds, in the face of so little of the people around us practicing the true faith of Christ. And we think to ourselves, what can we do? What good can I do? And yet, we come here week after week, and we have the very image hanging before us, which is the answer. Our Lady of Częstochowa, a replication of that image, hangs right there to remind us of where we have to turn. We have to turn to her, our mother, the queen of the entire faith, the queen of our faith, the queen of the church, protectress of her faithful. And for us, we have to look to the example of so many people before us in doing so. They did it themselves. They're commanded not to honor Our Lady's image, and by the hundreds of thousands, they ignore that and come and venerate her. We can't look to somebody else to do our job for us. We have to start with ourselves. We have to look here for us to succeed in winning back the faith to God. And this is how it ties in to Mission Sunday. Because that is how we can be missionaries for our Lord. Each and every one of us has to be part of that mission effort. What do we think of when we hear missionary? So oftentimes we think of the stories that we read of great saints, great preachers, who went all throughout very dangerous lands, risking their lives, sometimes giving their lives for trying to convert souls to Christ, standing before people who were so violently against the faith that they'd rather torture and kill them than listen to the words that they had to say. That they would travel great distances through very harsh terrain on foot just to get to people to be able to preach the gospel to them. But when we think of that example, when we have that image in our mind, that image is merely the very tip of the iceberg. in regards to the missionary effort for the faith, because any one of those great preachers of old would be the first to tell you that they were supported by the prayers of so many behind them. So many of the faithful held them up and made them successful because of their prayers, the quiet time that they spent on their knees begging for souls to be converted to Christ. And it is this that we have as a duty today, still. In fact, in a way, in a small way, you could say you have clergy before you that are somewhat missionary. Now, I don't say it as like some sort of extolling of myself, but it's just the truth of the matter. We have to travel to places and bring the faith to people and bring the sacraments to people. It's just part of our job. And it's something that is far easier now than it was for the missionaries who were coming over and converting the Indians and who were giving up their lives in various horrible ways, or so many of the apostles who traveled all throughout the land while being persecuted, or the early Christians, or so many examples of preachers who gave their lives to bring the faith to people. It's, you know, I don't have to walk on foot. I don't have to face down cannibals. But I'm still faced, when I go out, with difficulties that have to be dealt with. We still have to travel very far. Think about it. It's something that oftentimes doesn't get mentioned because it's just what we do. But in a week's time, I'll drive 2,400 miles. That's almost across the entire country, and often through very bad weather. I need prayers to get there safely. We'll have times when we're very tired. We'll have times when we'll get sick, and we still have to get there. We'll have times when, even though we've come from far, people aren't always that receptive, and it's not always a success. But we need those prayers to turn it into that success. And the success we've had up to this point is because of your prayers. And the success that we could have depends on your prayers. We need them more than anything else, because we can take back the faith for Christ, one soul at a time. And we can do great good for the kingdom of God. But it has to be all of us together. Because what I might do in preaching to people, or talking with people, or bringing sacraments to people, is just the face of all of your prayers. And sometimes, yes, I might be rewarded with seeing little pockets of success in my endeavors, and you might stay here and not see those things, but in heaven you will. That will be your reward for all your efforts. You'll stand before God and you'll see a great multitude of people there only because you prayed for them. But you can't look to somebody else. It starts with each of us, every single one of us. Remember, I've said it many times before, Saint Therese of Lisieux was the patroness of missionaries. She never went outside the convent. Yet how many souls do you think she saw on her judgment day that saved themselves because of her prayers, because of her sacrifices? That is all of us. Every single one of us can win souls for Christ. But it starts today. It starts ourselves. It starts with that perseverance in our prayers. It starts with turning to the right place, which is towards heaven, especially Our Lady, the mediatrix of all graces. And when we have such a devotion that is before us every single day, kind of a staple of our church, Our Lady of Częstochowa, who's worked so many miracles, what better place to come to than to her feet and asking her to protect her people and asking her for graces to increase those devoted to her. Think about that. Reflect upon that. Saint Luke made that very image of Our Lady. He didn't do it for his own personal collection. He didn't do it just as a gift to Mary. He did it so that all of the faithful could see her face, could remember her, and pray to her, knowing that she is the most powerful intercessor before God. He did it to win souls for Christ. We can use that image and that devotion for that very same purpose. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.